Once again, we are going to be confronted by a difficult question Jesus asked, and I hope that I can do it justly as I try to explain what I feel Jesus is referring to. Keep in mind now the theme of this entire 12th chapter is that we should seek God's kingdom first. That is, God does have a kingdom. There is a kingdom coming, which will be the kingdom upon this earth over which He will rule. And then there is temporarily within every individual Christian a kingdom already on this earth. We are all individually a kingdom of God. So He says to the people in chapter 12, all people should first seek God's kingdom. That is, be sure that you're a part of the coming kingdom as well as the individual personal kingdom. And you do this by, of course, making Christ your Lord and Savior now and making preparations now to live in the coming kingdom. Keep in mind, to do this, an individual must, at some point in their life, make a decision. We sometimes call this a decision for Christ. It's also a decision to switch kingdoms. That is, you are born into this world as a member of the world's kingdom, over which, of course, is ruled by the devil. But you're born into the world's kingdom. It's a kingdom that follows a system of living, a system of conduct, a system of character, which is devised by the world itself, which, of course, is inspired with the wisdom of the devil as the one that guides the world system. It's a world that you're born into that in which man makes up the laws by which he will live. Man will decide what he thinks is right and wrong for this hour and this day and this time. And so you have this continually changing because man changes his mind. What is right today in the mind of man may be wrong tomorrow. It's also a kingdom that decides what is worthwhile to pursue in one's lifetime and what is worthless. This is the world system. The world makes all the decisions regarding all these matters. The world is guided by its own carnal flesh and seeks to satisfy the lust of self-pleasure. And so whatever it comes up with becomes the world system, the world pattern, what the world accepts, what the world promotes. And so everyone is born into that kind of kingdom or that kind of system. And to get along in the world system, you have to go along with whatever the world says is good and bad, wise and foolish. That is, you have to fit in as you become a part of the world kingdom. Today we call this fitting in by a new term, and that is you have to be politically correct. Another way would be socially correct. Let society predict and determine and demand everything that you do. To fit in, you must follow after what they say. Now, the world system does not hesitate to cram its ways and its teachings and its beliefs and its theories and its practices down the throats of everybody in the world. That's why it's called the world kingdom. It's going to dictate. It's going to shout its beliefs. It's going to threaten anyone who disagrees. It's going to use slander for anyone who will not compromise and get along with what the world says is to be done. Nothing threatens the world system like a person deciding to move out of the world kingdom into the kingdom of Christ. Because these two kingdoms are opposed to each other. They're like enemies in a battle. And it is this threat, this danger, the world realizes that Jesus addresses with His next question. It's in chapter 12 of Luke, verse 51. Here is the question, number 27. Do you suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth? Good question, is it not? He answers his question this time. He says, no. I have rather come to bring division on this earth. Now, that is a strange statement that Jesus makes here, and many might find fault with it, especially the world system will find fault with this. They're saying, well, you mean, Jesus, you're not even going to try and get along with us, are you? He says, you got that right. Now, paraphrasing verse 51, Christ plainly declares that division is going to result when one joins his kingdom. He's talking about his kingdom in chapter 12. His kingdom is not going to try to get along with the world kingdom. And so he says, I'm going to divide. I'm not going to unite. He will divide himself. That is, those who belong to his kingdom will divide themselves from the old world system, the old world kingdom. They will no longer compromise. They will not go along with the past practices and the beliefs and the pleasures and the conduct that now Christ says are not fit conduct for those in his kingdom. No longer will a person be allowed to support the world system and support the world's goals and the world's practices and at the same time be a part of the kingdom of Christ. He's going to call us, in a sense, who are in his kingdom, to oppose the old kingdom from which we came. In other words, we're going to have to march now to a different drumbeat. We have a different national anthem. We're going to have to oppose that which we once supported. Stop doing what we once practiced, which God says, or what God identifies, as being unfit for those in his kingdom. And thus the world's going to say as they look at us, hey, what happened to you? You switched sides. If that's the case and you persist in this, you will now be our enemy, no longer our friend. But the Christian, you see, now because he has changed kingdoms, is not going to fit in anymore into the world system. He will no longer be able to go along with much of what the world advocates and much of what the world produces and much of what the world has to offer him. He now says, I can't touch that. I can't even look at that. I can't participate in that. I now belong to a new kingdom. Now, Christ made it clear when he first started his preaching ministry. He said, prepare for the kingdom of God is at hand. He began his ministry by talking about a coming kingdom. And in that kingdom, he would rule. He would be the kingdom. It would be he who would lay down the laws of the land. It would be him that everyone would have to please and obey. And if there would be disagreement or opposition, he says, in my kingdom, it will not be tolerated. A very strong stand, Jesus says, will take place when I bring in my kingdom. I will not permit any of the world kingdom to exist. Now, the world kingdom feels the same way about Christ's kingdom. We aren't going to allow your kingdom to be established. We don't want it to exist. Now, the Christian has already accepted by faith Jesus Christ, who is the King. We are already placed in the kingdom, so to speak, individually, but there is a coming kingdom on this earth. Christ is not only our Savior, he is also our Lord. Not coming Lord, but present Lord. That means ruler. Now, you can understand what Jesus is saying here. He says, there's bound to be a conflict now. Since you're a member of my kingdom now, and you're living in a kingdom that is not mine, that opposes me, you have yourself in a situation where you're going to be opposed. And you're going to be opposing the world system. There's going to be a conflict in your life between the two kingdoms. One that's obvious to you and one that's obvious to those that's in the world kingdom. You have one group siding with Christ, trying to promote his rule and his will right now in this world as far as his life is concerned. Then you have the other side that stands against Christ and is going to fight everything he wants as far as what he calls right and wrong. And so Jesus said, I have come to stir up this kind of division. I have come to create a division upon this earth. There is no way that one kingdom will be willing to imitate the other. The world's not going to imitate the kingdom of Christ. And those in the kingdom of Christ are not going to imitate those in the world. You have here an evil-good conflict. How can you compromise? How can light and darkness compromise? If light compromises, it becomes darkness. If darkness compromises, it becomes light. I mean, there's no way to compromise. So, well, you Christians don't try to get along. You can't get along. You're in different worlds. You live in different kingdoms. You follow a different chumbi. You can't get along with the world system. They won't get along with you. You say, well, why don't you folks in the world get along? Give up your sinful ways. Stop promoting your sinful things. They say, no way. You give up. They're not going to give up, folks. You can see that. There's no way the two kingdoms can get along. There's no way they can agree. There's no possible peace that can be established between the kingdoms. They're not going to establish peace with us who are in the kingdom of God. They will not. They'll be at war with you. Their aim is to get rid of you. How can you compromise? To compromise means you have to give in to them. That's what compromise means to them. You accept our way and shut up. You do what we do and say nothing about it. Well, that's no compromise. That's defeat. The enemy has won. Now, from the perspective of the man who belongs to the world system, he says, well, Jesus Christ makes the people in his kingdom too hard to live with. I mean, he makes them honorary. He makes them narrow-minded. Or even requires that they walk a narrow road. He makes them stubborn. He makes them intolerable. He makes them uncooperative. By the way, let me ask you this. Does not the devil make all those in his kingdom the very same thing? They too are narrow-minded. They too are stubborn. They too are intolerable. And they too are uncooperative. So what's the complaint? They're the very same way. We just have a different direction. They follow the broad road and we follow the narrow road. They won't get on the narrow road and they want us to get on the broad road. And they're stubborn. Well, so are those in Christ's kingdom. That's the way he's made us. And so he says, I have come to bring division. It happens. Now the world is happy when they find only just a few Christians, members of his kingdom, who really are just sold out on the kingdom life. This sold out on Jesus Christ. This determined to make Jesus Christ the Lord. And those few in that category, we call them Christians. They have a label for us. They say, well, you're just radical right-wingers. Radicals. Fanatics. Why, most of the Christians that we run across, why, they're broad-minded and they accept us and they're tolerable and they have an umbrella under which everybody can come and we are somebody in their eyes. Well, you're somebody in the eyes of God. You're a lost sinner who can be saved by grace and made a part of his kingdom. But they say, we're not interested in that. And so they're happy when they can only find a few what they call the radicals walking around. Let me ask you this, are we really radical or are we just divisive? Are we doing the right thing or are we really out of step with God? Jesus said, I have come to make division. Well, if I'm a part of division, am I to be sorry for that? Do I have to apologize for that? Do I have to apologize for being uncooperative with those in sin? I don't see any reason to be apologetic. You see, the only thing that makes us radical in the eyes of the worldly kingdom is that we allow Jesus Christ to reign over our lives and to dictate the laws by which we will live. That's what makes us radical. Really, you see, their antagonism is towards Christ. They don't like what he's telling his people as they try to live in his kingdom. They want to have nothing to do with his laws and his rule that they don't like. But to them, Jesus just gets in their way and tries to hinder them from ruling themselves as they see fit. Now, the world says, that's strange. Jesus would come around here and tell us that he's not come to bring peace, but he's come to bring division. Why, the world gets all uptight when Jesus makes that announcement. But let me tell you that. Jesus says something stranger than that. In verse 49, he says, I have come to send fire on the earth. That's strong language, folks. I didn't say that. I have come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already is kindled? The first firebrand, the first one that hurled the fire was Jesus Christ himself. Of course, he got him crucified. That shows you what the world thinks about the fire that came from his mouth. But, I mean, he said, I have come to send fire on the earth. And you only find these words in this chapter of the book of Luke. That doesn't mean they're not true, that Jesus never said them. But Jesus said, my kingdom is going to usher in a fire. Bring in fire. These are aggressive words. This shows us the side of the kingdom of Christ, the side of Christ that we call combative. Instead of aiming at having peace, he says, I'm going to focus my attention on warfare. In other words, you're going to be asking my kingdom to take your stand and let the fire fall. Now, we may not like to hear that, but that's what he's saying. Most of us know that Christ refers to his followers as being a light. Have you ever thought of us as being a firelight? I'll come back to this question a little bit later on. But let's look at one more verse, verse 50. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He'd already been baptized by John with water. I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Now, Jesus began his ministry having a water baptism. He says, I'm going to end my ministry undergoing a fiery baptism. And so before he would send fire upon the earth, in a sense, the fire earth going to send fire upon him. He's referring here to the course of the crucifixion. All the fire that he had been bringing with his mouth, with condemnation preaching of what the people of Israel were doing, because they too were following the kingdom of the world. He was saying to the Jewish nation, these things that upset them, displeased them, that they would in turn reward him with a sample of their own fire. They would place fire upon him. And that was the crucifixion. That was the crucifixion. That was their way of shutting him up, to make sure he would not rule over them, to make sure his laws would not become the laws of their kingdom. And so they brought down the fire of the cross on him. Because of the fire he had brought upon them for what he had said. And Jesus said, I'll be glad when this fiery baptism I must face will be over. That is, when the crucifixion will end. And then he said, I'll come back. And I'm going to send fire on the earth. Now, of course, after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, he was resurrected, went back to heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit. What is a symbol, or one of the symbols in the Bible of the Holy Spirit? It's a fire, a flame of fire. And that Holy Spirit comes into the believer who is a part of Christ's kingdom and fires him up and gives him fire and says, spread this fire throughout the world. Enlarge the kingdom of Christ throughout the world. Now, Christ had to go through the death on the cross to be the Redeemer and the Savior of sinners. And to make possible that we could switch kingdoms by becoming a born-again Christian. That we could enter into the kingdom life and have the ability and the strength and the power of God's Spirit to enable us to burn away that which is evil in our life and replace it with that which is good. Now the fire rested on Christ while He walked on this earth. When He went back to heaven, He placed that fire upon those in His kingdom who are still walking upon this earth. And that fire was spread from Him then to His people. And that people would then spread that fire, and they would bring others under conviction, and they would bring others into the kingdom. And they too would spread His fire throughout the land. This fire was placed in a new heart, given to a person at salvation. And thus there became a warmth for Christ, a warmth. He was on fire. You ever heard somebody say, he or she is on fire for the Lord? That's what they're talking about. When the worldly people, when those in the world kingdom come up against the firebrand of Christ, they say, man, that person is on fire for the Lord. And not yet, they'll burn you up. They'll burn up your sins, they'll burn up your conduct, they'll burn up your character. And that's what the world doesn't like. Because, you see, the Christian will let the fire fall. But that's evidence that he or she is on fire for the Lord. This means that they have a heart that is eager to side with Christ, to fight against sin, to eradicate as much sin as possible in this world. That's the aim of the heart that's on fire. A fire destroys. What's going to be destroyed in this instance, of course, is the world system. Oh, I can't destroy the world system in the lives of everybody. I hope they can in my life. I hope they can in my family's life. I hope they can in the lives of other people that maybe I come in contact with. Maybe I can have an influence to make them switch kingdoms. Maybe I can make the fire spread. I can try. Oh, I can't change the world, but there's some in the world that my fire might touch. But the Christian delights to see the world system brought to ashes. That's what's going to happen to it when Jesus comes. And I think the man within the kingdom of Christ will do everything he can to fan such a fire. I know in his own life he will. But also when he gets a chance, he'll put the fire in the presence of other people on what they're doing. And the source of the fire is with Christ is most often what he says. Because you better have the life to back this up now. But I mean, it's the words of the Christian that primarily get the Christian in trouble with the world system. In Jeremiah 1:9, God said to Jeremiah, He put forth his hand and touched my mouth, said Jeremiah, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Some of those words, folks, are fiery words. Fiery in the sense that they bring judgment and condemnation upon those who are in the world kingdom, following the world system. It condemns their conduct. It condemns their beliefs. It condemns their practices. They don't like that. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire. And the people shall be wood, and your fire shall devour them. And by the way, they're not going to always appreciate this. They're not going to always accept this. They're not going to like this. They're going to respond to it, though. They'll react. But sometimes it'll be like Christ. They want to crucify you. But other times it will change things. And it'll clean things up and purify things as fire does. Have you ever used the expression, that burns me up? That burns me up. Today I find that sometimes when you see something taking place in society, that you know is totally wrong, totally evil, totally wicked, being sanctioned and promoted and accepted and followed by so many people. And you as a Christian says, man, that burns me up. That burns me up. So that's what we're, I think, having experienced in our life as we are Christians. When you tell an unsaved person that what they're doing is sinful, it's out of the will of God, it's wicked, it's an abomination in the eyes of God, the wicked man says, what you're saying to me burns me up. Boy, you're making me mad. You're filling me full of hot heat. At the same time, when we see on TVs, we see things done, we see things practiced, we hear things said that totally irritate us because this is totally opposed to the will of God, then we too have the same expression. Man, that burns me up. So they turn the heat on you. In the same regards, folks, we turn the heat on them. You not only condemn sin in your own life, but you condemn sin in the lives of other people. You tell them, thus saith the Lord, and that burns them up. Well, you're a fire. And in a sense, they'll say, well, thus saith the psychologist, and thus saith the philosopher. And that'll burn you up. That is their authority that they believe in, who supports the world system. I think the sinner ought to feel uncomfortable in the presence of a Christian. All sinful conduct will one of these days be burned to a crisp when God cleanses this world of all of its wickedness. In the meantime, we do everything we can to get people to switch kingdoms before that happens. And sometimes the fire has to fall to get them to switch. Until next Sunday, may God bless.